Praise and thanks be unto the Lord, that we may already feel His presence. A hymn writer sings, "Without Jesus being near, my heart is grieved. Without Jesus being near, every joy is just a bitter pain. If the Lord is not present, if He does not bless, and we really know that He is with us, then even joy of an earthly kind is only terrible pain. May God be with us, that we become the blessed of the Lord. As God said to Abraham, I will bless thee, and thou shalt be a blessing." When this psalm was read, that no man is just before God, I saw the bridge to the New Testament and thought on Romans 3, where it is written that we have been justified by faith. We were unclean, unworthy, far away from God, but we have been brought nigh. I would like, before I make some announcements, I would like to firstly read this word, Romans chapter 3, from verse 21. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God." Not the righteousness of men, God's righteousness manifested, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. The righteousness of God has an attachment figure, and this is Jesus Christ. Whoever seeks the righteousness of God without the justification of the faith in Jesus Christ, he seeks it in vain. In Christ alone is our justification, namely by faith it is given to us. And then the statement in verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And then again the wonderful statement, "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." This is the gospel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it continues, "whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." And so forth. Important was for me the thought that we, as the unjust, being separated from God, people who were born in sin, coming to this world, but that the Lord came into this world to seek and to save what was lost, to bring us back again into our divine stand. And whoever believes in Jesus Christ, he believes God. He believes that what God has done in Christ. And therefore, not only the word faith is valid, but the term faith in Jesus Christ. And by this it remains. I simply belong to those people who can rejoice with all their heart when God blesses others and uses them. I've always said it, only then, when a preacher rejoices when God blesses and uses others, then for him the time comes to be blessed and used by God. As long as there's still jealousy and envy in the heart of a man, then God is not there at all. Do you understand this? We mentioned it already yesterday in the sermon. The Lord wants to take dwelling in us. We shall become a temple of God, so that he can dwell in us and work through us. When I at his time saw and heard Brother Branham, the joy was so great as never before in my life. And it becomes all the more incomprehensible that this prophet in the south of Germany said, I have ordered a sharpshooter who should at that time kill William Branham. What is brought there into circulation is simply hair-raising. But because I have not so many hairs, therefore with me it remains as it is. We are just so grateful to the Lord that we actually don't have to react to such attacks at all. These are poor people who are to be pitied. What else shall one say or do? Today I have on purpose, because of such people who are not always here or who have no insight into the special commission of Brother Branham. And this I would like to emphasize here very much because of my last circular letter, some might got the impression that I want to rebuke or that I want to correct. Both does not apply. I only, because out of William Branham, they made Jesus Christ, they made him the Word becoming flesh, and made him God, and many other things. For this reason, I have very consciously had to write as I wrote. And I hope that it was clear enough to everyone. On the one hand, the infallible ministry by divine revelation as prophet, and on the other hand, just a human being and preacher who brought the word, and he also had to grow, and he could bring the things only as they were revealed to him by God. Prophets do also depend on that, what God shows them and reveals them. If it is about the divine calling, then I stand to it right to the end. This light above the head of Brother Branham hang over him a few hours, about 3 hours after his birth, in the room in which he was. The mother and the grandmother and whoever was there, they saw this light with their earthy eyes, and they asked in the same hour, what will be the meaning of all this? This light appeared every time. It's the pillar of fire that accompanied the people of Israel. The same pillar of fire from which the Lord spoke to Moses. The same light that appeared to Saul on the way to Damascus. And the Lord spoke to him out from this light and said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? When you will see the film, especially our beloved brethren who are now newly added from Russia, our friends from Romania, from where more and more are coming, God bless you all. They are still coming in now. We are glad about it, that the borders opened. We will show you this film. And then Brother Branham always says, Now the light is above this and that woman, now about this and that man. This is the same light that came down into the meetings when Brother Branham prayed for the sick and the angel of the Lord stood next to him. And everything what was revealed was 100% truth. I just want that all forever know that I stand to God and to them whom God has called and sent. The other thing is this picture here. And today I brought with me the Life magazine on purpose. The American edition, in which Rockefeller and his wife is shown on the first page. But here is the same light. The picture was taken from a distance of 325 kilometers. You in the front, you see it much better here. And whoever leaves this building, you just need to look up at the chimney, and there you see the light. You can see the face of the Lord very clearly in it. And it was that day, the 28th of February, 1963, when this light came down, and the Lord, out of this cloud, out of this light cloud, in which Brother Branham was literally veiled in, he spoke, and the seven angels surrounded him in this light, in the form of a pyramid, and he was told, return to Jeffersonville, for the time has come to open the seven seals. I testify of it here with a true heart before God and you and all them who will still hear it, that I stand to this divine commission and to the call, and I will proclaim it until the end what God has revealed. However, my task is to place all things biblically and to only preach that what I can preach from the Bible. Everything else I leave up to God. I brought with me another picture that probably only a few of you have seen. A businessman, a multi-millionaire by the name Argenbright, whom I also knew personally, who accompanied Brother Branham many times. He made two pictures. The one at the beginning of the meeting. Here you see Brother Branham, here's the pulpit. And the other picture, when he prayed, and when he suddenly said, now the presence of God is here. The whole area around the altar penetrated by fire. It was even taken by a camera and recorded here on this photograph. God is a God who reveals himself, a living God. He can appear in the pillar of fire. He can appear in the pillar of cloud. He can reveal himself like he wants. And we testify that he revealed himself. And this distinguishes Brother Branham from all the other evangelists to whom God did not reveal himself in such a supernatural way. We don't make here a very big comparison, neither do we classify in great or little, but I want to be a part of that what God is doing in my time, not a part of that what great evangelists do, but a part of that what God is doing in our days. For those who find some things hard to understand in the sermons of Brother Branham, let me tell you, clarifying. Actually, there's nothing that is hard to understand. If it would not have been taken out of context by so-called experts, and thus it was made hard to understand. If one reads and leaves the sermons in the context, everything becomes clear. But if one takes things out of context, then it's no more a whole thing, and then it gets hard to understand. Should nevertheless such things be still found, then please read in 2 Peter, in chapter 3, from verse 14 to 18. And there Peter writes that in the epistles of Paul, some things are hard to understand. Maybe I read it to you, so that you know that it is written, men of God received the things by revelation, and whoever has no revelation, for him it is hard to understand. And also we didn't understand everything right away. It went from clarity to clarity, and from knowledge to knowledge. I read from 2 Peter chapter 3, from verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. This was really like this in the days of the apostles, and today it's the same. And whoever reads the first church age message to the church of Ephesus, he will find the thought expressed there, you have tried those who call themselves apostles, and you found them to be liars. It were men who just wore a mask of apostles. But it continues here. The admonition is addressed to us, namely in verse 17 and 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. There are people who were led away, and they lead others also away. Don't be led away, but become steadfast. Don't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but be settled in the unmistakable Word of God. When I think about when I was at that time in Jerusalem, there were already 21 men from the various countries who said of themselves, we are the two witnesses. We are the two witnesses. Each one of them wanted to be one of the two witnesses who should come. And I guarantee you that all 21 was not one of them. Not the claim. It's ideas, and then come false spirits who motivate the people, and they think, I'm the one. Only the one whom God ordains for it, he will be the one. And he will not blow his own trumpet. He will wait until God bears witness. By the way, it will be Moses and Elijah. And so no one of the uncircumcised Gentiles have to make their thoughts about it, that he should have a commission for Israel, whatever that may be. The same applies to the theologians of the end time message. How many found themselves who wanted to be that man of whom Brother Branham spoke, who would still come, for whom he laid the platform, if he should not be the one? Did Brother Branham not speak in his humility given to him by God, there he spoke about a phase of his ministry, and then he spoke of the other phase. And I tell you also why. He spoke of the first, of the second, and of the third pull. And he laid the platform at the first time for the second round, at the second time for the third round. But as Paul, so also Branham was a humble man of God and didn't say, I will be the one who then makes the thing. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I know of a man who was taken up into the third heaven, into paradise. He doesn't say, I was the man who experienced this. True men of God remain in the background. They give God the glory. And thus also Brother Branham did it. By the way, when you read the sermons precisely, and when you know the Holy Scriptures thoroughly, then it only speaks of seven messengers. Revelation 1, verse 20. I read it to you. Revelation 1, verse 20. Here it is written very clearly. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks, which thou sawest, are the seven churches. Where is written even one single place of an eighth angel? And I have said it already in the year 68, when the first experts made their round, seven angels as seven messengers were in the hand of the Lord. If an eighth comes somewhere on the scene, then we have to ask the question in whose hand he is. In the hand of the Lord were only seven. Or didn't I read properly? Oh yes, I've read properly. Seven. Seven. The number of the divine perfection and completion. Seven churches, seven epochs, seven messengers. And we believe that Brother Branham was the seventh messenger, and there will be no eighth one. There only will be men of God who preach unto us the word left and revealed unto us, and give out the spiritual food, and passing on to the people of God the hidden manna that was revealed. Something else will not exist. To this, we could read many scriptures, but this is not our subject this morning. I just wanted it to be said, so that all, and may it be heard worldwide, that all know the stand which I take before God and mankind. I'm not a prophet, I'm not an eighth messenger, but I'm one whom the grace has found. And someone who didn't look for it, but to whom the lot has fallen, to preach the word of the Lord, and this in all the world. And so, may the Lord bless his wonderful word on all of us, and be with all of us. Beloved, that we live in the last days, we see and hear it every day more clearly. If there should be people who do not know yet that we now live in the last days, then just read the newspaper. I have no time to read it. I just do it sometimes. Brother Kupfer, just before the service, he gave me a newspaper article from the Alsace. And listen, what here a Roman bishop writes. I just noted down two sentences in German. Without the homosexuals, one cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The homosexuals go before us into the kingdom of God. Brother Rus says it was also written in our newspapers. Well, what did our Lord say? In the days of the Son of Man, it will be like it was in the days of Sodom. There already people in a robe of office. They married two men. Did you all read it? And not long from now, they will marry two women. It was done already, Brother Schmidt says. Now even I have a gap in education. In which time do we live? I ask you. Just as the Lord said it. In Sodom, it was only homosexuality. Now it's also the other. I read it to you from Romans chapter 1. The living God, the omniscient God, he really thought on everything. Here it is written, Romans chapter 1, verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And so forth. That's how it is written in the Word of God. And there are people who don't want to believe that God's Word says the truth. We see it everywhere fulfilled. In the earthy, in the spiritual, in the political, in every way, in every area, we see the Word of God being fulfilled. In the days of Sodom, it was the time when the Lord revealed himself to Abraham, and the two angels went to Sodom, and these Sodomites didn't even have reverence before this high visit. They wanted to get hold of these two men. And what did Lot say? I give you my daughter, who didn't sleep with any man. Take her and do with her what you like. And they said, no, we want these two men. Twisted, demon-possessed. There were men of God, and you can read it, who maybe had too many women, but there was not one man who was possessed to commit this evil act with another man. This is a perverse thing which comes from Satan, and should somebody lean to this, may he be delivered by prayer under the divine authority. This applies to both sides. You all know that people can be possessed by demons. When we read in Judges 8 verse 30, then Gideon had 70 sons of the same parents, daughters not even counted. There were men who probably did what did not please God or what didn't have his full agreement. But that, what is happening here in this last time, goes beyond every measure. There is no fear of God among the people. And so may the Lord give us as his people grace to escape all things what shall come upon the face of the earth. And you know, whoever reads the book of Revelation attentively, he will find out that not only the kings of the earth, but also the dignitaries, and this word is literally written in the Bible. If one comes today somewhere, then it says Reverend so-and-so. You just need to hear this once. Some time ago, I had a speech in Vienna, and this man there, in this nice house, he literally called me also this title. And then, of course, came a waterfall from my mouth. I had to correct him on the spot. He knew this is a religious speech, and suddenly Austrian hospitality decorated with titles, and Reverend was also there. To him I told it on the spot. But here it's written in Revelation chapter 6, namely in connection with the sixth seal, when the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heaven will be shaken, and so forth. There it says then in verse 15, Revelation 6, verse 15, and the kings of the earth and the church dignitaries and the chief captains and the rich men and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? On that day, the high politicians will no more receive the church dignitaries, and the dignitaries will no more receive the politicians. On that day, it will be the same with both. Then the wrath of God unloads over all who did not believe the gospel. And therefore it is written that we shall be counted worthy to escape all things what will come upon the face of the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. Please, do not envy the church dignitaries. Don't think, oh, they are all honored so much. This is temporal. Very soon, nothing will be heard and seen of them anymore. The hour is near in which every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Before him all will have to bow, great and little, rich and poor, politicians and dignitaries alike. Let us go over to our word observation. You all know, also our Lord, when you read the Gospels, he came from one subject into the other subject. Just read the four Gospels and you will see how he suddenly, in one chapter, he goes from one subject to the other, just as it was necessary. We are not here to preach the word of God lopsided. We are here to proclaim the whole counsel of God. Are you really convinced that we live in the last days? Are you really convinced that this is the last generation? The people of Israel returned home. As signs of the time, we see many things fulfilled. The last message goes forth. Some reject very strongly. The others receive and accept wholeheartedly. always it was the little flock which received, and they were so despised, like the prophets, and like the Lord and the apostles. But in every time, the word of our Lord was fulfilled. It is the will of the Father to give to the little flock the kingdom, not to the multitude, to the little flock. The church of Jesus Christ was at all times this little flock, but who followed the shepherd and whom he led to the green pastures, where there was never a lack, also in the times of drought. God was feeding them and gave them to drink. I would like to come to Luke chapter 10 and just briefly express some thoughts and emphasize them. Luke chapter 10, a very wonderful chapter in reference to calling, proclamation, harvest that shall be brought in, and how those were authorized by God, who are sent by the Lord to preach the word. It says from verse 1, after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Here is something very wonderful. I only want to go into these cities into which the Lord also wants to come. Do you understand this thought? He sent them into these cities into which he himself also wanted to come. I only want to go into such cities of which I know that the Lord comes also there. What good would be my going there if he would not come along to bless, to save, to deliver, and to heal? What is the prayer and request of the men who are sent out, that they have great multitudes before them and then probably get a bit fat because they get puffed up? No, he who is sent by the Lord can of course discern that the thing doesn't come from himself, but from God. We are miserable servants, unworthy, earthy vessels. The vessel is not important, but the content. One could have a golden vessel, a perfect vessel, and if the content is not good, what good is the nice vessel for? But however the vessel might be, and Paul writes it to the Corinthians, we bear this treasure in earthy vessels. Our body, this mortal body, has become a temple of the living God. And here Brother Kier, some days ago, he told me something encouraging. He said something like this, Brother Frank, don't look on yourself. The word that God has laid into you has sanctified you for the ministry that God has given you. It's not the vessel. It is the content that is in this vessel. And I would like to pass on this divine content in a way as it was given to me by God. In the second verse, we are told, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. The Lord was not satisfied with the sending out of the 12. He was not yet satisfied. It was not enough. So that 70 more were sent out. The harvest is great. The multitude of peoples all over the earth. What can 12 do? And what can 70 do? At this time we have around 154 countries on the earth. If not, some islands have become independent. What is here? A handful of people. Beloved, if we believe on it, that we live in the last days, and the last message must reach the ends of the earth, let us honestly and sincerely pray for it, that God sends out laborers into his harvest, not in your and in my harvest, but in his harvest, that he in every language finds the right men who preach the word as it was revealed to us, and who carry it, that right at the end the lockstep is established in the bride. After all, Brother Branham had a vision. He saw the bride in a preview. At first, the bride, how she was at the beginning, wonderful, dressed in white, not having spot nor wrinkle. And then he saw the second picture which followed. Rock and roll music accompanied her, and still wanted to be bride, had no more a white garment on, just around the hip something was hanging around, and some things hanging down like gimmickry. And this should be the bride. And Brother Branham said, when I saw that, my heart began to cry. And then he looked right to the front and saw her who was leading her. Sisters, forgive me here when I pass on this vision like this. But it was a woman. She looked like a witch. This Brother Branham said, you read it most certainly. He almost fainted. And he said, my God, is this the result of all my preaching and of all the input of the brothers? And as he was so heartbroken in this vision before the Lord, the third picture came. And behold, again there was a bride as she was at the beginning. So also at the end, a beautiful bride, dressed and decorated in white garments, without spot and without wrinkle. And then he watched. Some somehow went off the track and came out of lockstep, and he should bring them back again, to bring her again into lockstep. Beloved, also therein, let us please be attentive. If somebody deviates, we don't want to see right away an enemy in him and think now he's lost forever. One has to discern whether it's about a temporal error and confusion, or whether one really sinned against God or against the Spirit of God and can return no more. Maybe it helps you. It was actually not in the program, but it is written in James, in chapter 5. And may it help us to have the right attitude in this regard. James, chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Did you ever read it in this way? Because there are many who say, the elect will not be deceived, and so forth. And if then somebody strays or deviates, then he straight away is shrugged off as not being chosen. Please, don't judge before the time. Wait until the end. Even of the prophets, it says, consider their end, not the time in between, not the beginning, not the half-time, but consider the end of their conversation and follow their faith. We have to, in all things, act biblically. If, for instance, somebody is in the truth and he is in some kind of way deviating from the truth for some time, then God is able to bring him back. But if false brothers who never have been in the truth, who just crept in according to Galatians chapter 2, if they then walk on their own ways, them one just has to let go, and they will not let themselves be corrected. But he who is really of the truth and was born of God, he lets himself be corrected. He will not have any inner resistance against God's word. He will, sooner or later, return to the truth, and the Lord will be merciful to him. Let us come back now, or maybe still the word, because it just belongs to it. 2 Thessalonians 2, just to show you this difference of them who deviate and who do not return, and between them who somehow make a detour and then return again. 2 Thessalonians 2 from verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Here is the difference. There are people who have not the love for the truth. They have the love for their special knowledge, for their special doctrines, for their special revelations. And these are the people who have no love for the truth. The truth is God's word, not your special revelation. It will only become an idol and a fate for you, because it's unscriptural. God's word alone is the truth, and every revelation that comes from God comes within these two covers, and not from outside. And therefore, it's in conformity with the word. Then it says in verse 11, and for this cause, which cause? Because they received not the love of the truth. This is the whole point, and I know of what I speak. I was enough internationally amongst brothers who have not taken the Bible into their hands anymore. From the sermons of Brother Branham, they wanted to prove their special revelations and doctrines. And when I said, one moment please, now it's getting high time that we come to the Bible. Do you know what the answer was? No man understands the Bible. Only the prophet understood it. So far the people have come. I know of what I speak. I am not just since yesterday in the ministry. I have seen many things and witnessed much. Many times my heart was torn. It was not the connection to the truth. It was the searching for something new that could again attract the people, getting them enthused back to the old Word of God. As Brother Ruth said, which is every morning new, and at the evening it didn't become old, but it's still new. And if you read it at midnight, it is still new. Hallelujah, praise God. Back to the Word of God. Verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In this case, it is no more spoken of correction. Do you see here the difference? In James, there is a going astray, but the one who went into error there, he had a connection to the truth, to the Word of God. So he is of divine seed, born of God. Here it's people who have not received the love for the truth, who only had specialities, selling them to make a good business. No, and this is the big difference here. Some are brought back and are then thankful for it. The others go from one error into the next, and you can't speak to them anymore. Just the contrary. They then look down on those who remained in the Word and say, you have stopped. You are left behind. We walked forward. Yes, forward. But into which direction? And with whom? You can only go forward with God, in the Word of God, and with the Word of God. For this word I live, for this word I die. John was brought unto the Isle of Patmos for the sake of the Word of God and for the sake of the testimony of Jesus. And today we are here to bear witness for the Word of God and with the Word of God and to testify of Jesus Christ our Lord. One more thing, and this may it really open our eyes, especially for all those who here, also in this mission center, are certain people who collect addresses and say, dear brother, from where do you come? And how are you? And so forth. And then collecting the addresses for many years. I have seen these people here. They had a writing pad and also a pen. And then they are looking for people since many years. I show you now from the Bible whereby you can recognize such who were not sent from God, because they go to and fro into the houses and speak there about him who is not present and who cannot give his view on that what is being presented there. And they don't preach the word, but they have many other things which they spread there. And I show you also what they do, for they go from house to house. Here it says in Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, one of the most important verses on which one can recognize whether a man was sent from God or not. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. This many read over. They skipped it. It had nothing to say to them. To a true servant of God, this has much to say. If somebody, by the commission of God, comes into a city, then he enters into a house, and he commands the house to receive the peace of God. And if that house receives him, then he remains there. But in that house, he doesn't hear about brother so-and-so, and then he goes to brother so-and-so, and then he hears about this and that brother. This doesn't exist. A servant of God does not go from house to house in a city. A servant of God goes into a city, enters a house, and remains there, not to speak about others, but from that place to preach the word of God. Brothers, also for you, who you preach the word, if you go from one house to the other, the one tells you this, the other tells you that, the one about this one, the other one about that one, suddenly you are inwardly bound, you are no more free to preach the word. Now you have to take sides, you would have to arbitrate. Who do you want to agree with? It doesn't work. Do you see why the Lord said this? Our God has infinite wisdom. He has also left clear guidelines for those whom he sends out. Whoever does not stick to it is in trouble. He is in big trouble and will hardly get out of it. True servants of God, read that what belongs to the sending, and they stick to it, and then they can become a blessing for all. Also to them who probably don't like each other, who have different opinions, or don't get along well with one another. In that moment, one can really help all. And I made it in all countries and cities in this way, that I never have taken sides, never went from here to there, never agreeing with this one or that one. I said, come all, and together, in the presence of God, that is being said what has to be said, and may all hear it. And I tell you, I experienced wonderful victories of God in this way, because then the several sides could no more argue with one another. Then they all had to listen, and while listening, God has taken all the sharp arrows out of them and poured oil into the wounds, and thus all things were made well. I really did not experience it yet that I would have split churches, but I did experience that I brought groups together that were apart from one another. Oh yes, God has used me for this. It must be given to us by the Lord. And I've said it here many times from the days of Solomon. The woman who was not the mother of the child, she said, divide it into two pieces. And the woman who was the mother, she cried, don't divide it, let it live. And Solomon says, this is the mother, because she doesn't want the death of the child. She wants the child to live. That's how it is also with us, who we are used by God to preach the word, so that people are born again unto a living hope. Whoever goes somewhere and says, all right, then we divide. Forget this man. It would have been better. He would not have had the money to be able to pay his flight ticket. He should have rather stayed at home. A man of God wishes to the house and to the city and to the people of God peace. And a man who would like to wish peace to the people of God and the house and the city which he visits, he should also please bring the peace of God with him. He must bring it with him. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, but peace of God that is higher than all understanding of men. The peace of God also doesn't stop with knowledge and so forth, but The peace of God is higher than all our understanding and rationality. And then it continues here and says unto us who we preach the word, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Also this part we want to take seriously, taking it together seriously, for the church, the audience, must, by the proclamation of the word, it must be edified and brought to the faith before the gifts and the ministries of God can be operated. And I think we have heard the word of God enough to know that, as it is written here on top on the banner, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who were the ones who were healed? Those who came to the Lord and who believed that He can heal them. Not people who pore over their lives or who asked, why did this happen to me and not to others and so forth. People who believed with all their heart that the Lord can do it, and also later on that God has authorized those whom He sent in order to confirm His word. I believe it was Brother Gajdacz who about 10 days ago read to me a letter from Czechoslovakia, a woman who so much suffered from rheumatism so that she could not move her hands at all. You had to pick her up and carry her. She couldn't do anything anymore. And today she does everything for everyone else. She simply asked that a handkerchief is being sent to her, with which the sweat was wiped. And God, at first He tried her faith and then confirmed it. Today she is not carried by others or served by others. Today she serves others. And God has healed. I always experienced it when the people believed that here is a servant of God who, by the commission of the Lord, preaches the word, and that God will give it to them. It happened. I don't know if I told it to you before. There is a case where a couple for 17 years couldn't have a baby, and both came, and they were saddened to death. Go to Asia, go to Africa. If the woman has no child, then it's a reproach for her. She can't cope with it. And here the brother and sister came. And what shall I tell you? Less than 1 year after the prayer, they had a son and called him Frank. God answers prayers, but it's the attitude of the people. One has to know that it is God with whom we deal. Here not religious politics are being made to waste time. Here the word of the Almighty God is preached. I said it recently in a conversation. I don't know who it was of the brothers. If I don't preach the word, then I don't want to preach anything at all. One has to be certain that one really preaches the word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word remains forever. Who can believe that we also, in this point, come into the phase as it was at the beginning? How was it at the beginning? The working of God was so mighty. Peter walked through the streets of Jerusalem, and his shadow fell on the people. And all on whom his shadow fell were made well. They rose and formed at the end a nice procession, who could then walk through the streets of Jerusalem. Yes, you may say, was this biblical? Oh yes, very biblical. Very biblical. If God does it, then it's always biblical. After all, Peter didn't do it. He just walked his way. God did it. But I tell you how it happened. the people who went there, they believed that Peter was a man of God. They believed that the power of God is working in him. They didn't believe in Peter. They believed in the power of God, which was manifested in Peter. By faith, they went there, and by faith, they were healed. Amen. Hallelujah. Beloved, we must reach this stand of faith. Did Paul say, if you take here my handkerchief or my aprons, and so forth? Yeah. By the way, they even complained and they said, if Brother Frank would really be a servant of God, then he wouldn't be so nicely dressed. But Ezra said, I didn't notice this myself. But there are people who turn their collar around and put their head down and think this is humility. In the hump that comes up there, there's the evil one. If somebody thinks this is humility, no, we believe with all our hearts that God is with them who stick to him and to his word. And all these men who go from house to house and carry around so much dirt which doesn't fit on any wagon, they should be ashamed of themselves. I've said it here before. Whoever has just a little bit of an idea of the time and hour, he will at the harvest time not drive around with cow dung. He will at the harvest time set in the sickle, the scythe, the combine. He will use everything to bring in the harvest, right or not? This is what the very natural common sense says. So we recognize also by this who brings in the harvest, namely who operates the combine and who brings in the wheat. So it was not Paul who said, come, take here the things and go. But the people who experienced Paul in his ministry, they were convinced that this is a man of God. And I'm glad that I'm not the only one whom the sweat drops down. The sweat obviously ran down on him too. Nobody has told me until now, stop with it, you are mad. Before Festus and Agrippa, Paul preached so mightily that they said, stop, you are beside yourself. Nobody told me this until now. Only my friends, Brother Rus, they say, I should speak a little more quietly and more slowly. But you can only do that if you can. Let us come back to it. And with it I come to a close. It were men of God, whom the Lord blessed. And these people believed, if they now take a handkerchief, an apron, and bring it to those people who could not come into the meetings, then God will heal them. And thus it happened. They were healed. Why? Because they believed, if they do this, then God will do it and make it happen. According to our faith, it happens. Jesus never said, according to your imagination, according to your faith, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. But please, no faith that comes from a reasoning. He who still has to reason how and what he shall do, he shall still continue to reason and wait for the time until faith becomes a revelation. And in that moment, when faith becomes to you a certainty, to a revelation, then you know exactly what you have to do. And then God is with you and confirms his word according to your faith. And I tell you, the time is near in which we will see the wonders of God. And some will marvel about that, what God will still do. I know that at the end he must do what he did at the beginning. Restoration means restoration of all things. That's how the mouth of God has said it. And thus it will be. And we live in that time in which all things are restored. for the glory of God in the Church of the Lord. May God bless all the various things that were set forth here today from His Word. And lets us draw a lesson from it, that we know how we have to behave and how we have to meet those who now with dishonest motives really go from city to city and from house to house. We would like to belong to those who prepare the way for the Lord, who go ahead and take Him with us, to let Him then work and bless. Are you grateful also for such teachings? I believe it is important. One has to have open eyes now. One has to know how the thing is before God, how God sees it. We are no longer allowed to judge a matter from our own expert opinion. We always have to take the Holy Scripture to it. May God help us with it, is my prayer. Amen. Let us stand up and pray together. As we bow our heads, close our eyes, and open our hearts, I would like to ask how many are here who truly have a longing in their heart to judge a matter correctly, to in a certain situation act according to the Word, and to judge the things as God sees them, and so forth. From everything what we looked at, I believe it was a number of thoughts that were expressed or that we looked at together. Who would like from today on serve the Lord in such a way, really in every hour and time, in every situation, to place it before God, to judge it rightly, finding grace before God, that we could really become a biblical church, who really in all, not only in some points doctrinally, but also with the dealing of certain things, in the handling of certain things, that in every point we want to be biblical. Faithful Lord, with all our hearts we thank You. We have our earthly eyes closed, but the eyes of the heart are open. We see You, we hear You, You walk in our midst, You are speaking with us, You work on us, You correct us, You help us, so that we come to perfection. Dear Lord, we don't look on ourselves, for thus we heard it in this psalm, there is no one on earth who is just, who could stand his ground before You. But there are those who were justified by You, those who were blessed by You, who were saved by You, who were sanctified by You, who were filled with Your Spirit. Dear Lord, there is a church on earth which bears Your name, which bears Your word, which has Your nature, a living church, and to this we may belong. Faithful Lord, that what was preached here today, may it become true in our lives. Give us the right discernment, give us grace and wisdom in every situation. Lord, give us discernment of spirits, discernment of motives, discernment of brothers, of doctrines, and of the preaching, and so forth. Lord, I thank You. Today, in this hour, You did great things on all of us. You did help us. From today on, You will walk with us a way that we don't see yet, but You know it, and You take us by our hand. Although I do not know the way, yet you know it. My Jesus, it's never too late, as the German song goes. Faithful Lord, we pray for our brothers who preach your word. Lord, be with them in a very special way here at this place and in all places worldwide. Help us that your bride gets into lockstep in full conformity with your word. For how can two walk together unless they agree? Lord, let us agree with you in such a way, namely with your word, that you could walk with us and we with you. Beloved Lord, you blessed us. We thank you with all our hearts for it. Touch now the sick, the weak, the afflicted. You have sent your word, and all who believe it get well. We thank you with all our hearts for it. Full redemption, full salvation teaches our Bible. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory and worship be to you, the living God, who revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, hear us and let us have part in that what you are doing. Blessed and praised be thou for the gracious visitation that thou hast given us, and also for that we can distinguish your voice from all the other voices. Your voice is your word. Hallelujah. Praise and glory be to you now and throughout all eternity. Amen.